5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hey everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. I'll admit, over the 9 months and 99 episodes of this podcast, I've been a hound for titles. I've wanted all of my guests to be people from the big leagues, the big brands, and the holders of big titles. VP of a Major League Baseball team? Yes. Director for an NFL team? Hell yeah. Agent to Baker Mayfield? Yes, please. I wanted to grab the movers and shakers in the industry to share their big knowledge and big experience. And I've loved it. I'm a sucker for these conversations and peeling back the layers of each individual journey. There is so much you can learn from someone once you start talking. Stuff that isn't on their resume or social media profile. The truth about them and their experience. And that's what I've always tried to dig into with my expert interviews. What I haven't done enough of, if I look back in self-reflection, is talk to the people on the beginning of their industry curve. A view from the climb up the ladder rather than from the perch atop it. So this week, we're having a very different conversation, sharing a very different perspective. Dasmin Evans is a recent graduate of Florida State University, where she earned her degree in sports management. She conducted internships while in college with major sports leagues and brands. She volunteered. She built her personal brand. But getting hired in sports hasn't been easy. I found Dasmin because she wrote an article on LinkedIn titled 10 Things to Know About Working in Sports Before You Graduate. And I was hooked. I enjoyed the read. I read hundreds of articles like this, but not every one stands out. And the reason it stood out is because I thought it was raw and honest, and it was an interpretation of the struggle to find her struggle to find work in the sports industry and what she's learned along that journey. One of my favorite lines, at one point she says, "Let me tell you, grab a bottle of wine because the stress is real." It's the truth. It's not as easy as get degree, get dream job. It's a journey of peaks and valleys. And to be honest, at the start, it's often more valleys than peaks until you find that one break. The thing I've always promised you on this show is that we will speak honestly about the industry I love and have worked in for over 20 years. I will not sugarcoat the story. I will not say every day is a dream with kettle corn and rainbows because that's not real. We will talk about the industry in a real, unfiltered manner. And that's what we're doing today with Dasmin Evans. So let's get to it. Hi, Dasmin. How are you doing today?
Hi, Brian. I'm well today. How are you?
I'm doing great. So the reason I wanted to talk was because you wrote a very timely article this week that you published on LinkedIn. It's graduation season and thousands of young people are entering the workforce, or at least trying to. Your article, which you titled 10 Things to Know About Working in Sports Before You Graduate, and I will link to your article in the show notes of this episode, but the reason I enjoyed it so much is because it was really a raw and honest, informative piece about your journey after graduating with a sports management degree from Florida State. So let's start at the beginning. When you were in your senior year of school, you're approaching graduation and the impending doom of real life, what did you think it was going to be like?
I thought it was going to be the opposite of what it was. And, you know, I think every senior in college who's getting ready to start hashtag adulting, you know, there's always kind of that common fear of, I don't know what I'm getting into because I've never done this before. But I will tell you, for whatever reason, I thought, you know, I was going to graduate. I was going to get a full-time job. I was going to be working for some NFL team and just living my best life. And when I tell you, it was the complete opposite of that. No one could have told me that wasn't what I was going to be doing.
Right. Oh, no, I get it. Trust me. I've said the story on the podcast before that I graduated college with the same kind of attitude. And then like 2 months later, I'm running out of money. I don't have a job. I end up moving back in with my parents. And then I got my big break. I ended up getting the job I wanted. It all worked out fine. But that time in there can be really nerve wracking. Okay. So now tell us, what was the reality of your experience? You had an expectation, but what kind of happened after graduation? What was kind of going on as you led up to that moment?
Yeah, so really kind of everything I was worried about during my senior year, which you know, for me, I was toying between, do I want to go straight into full-time work? Do I want to go, you know, into grad school and get my master's? And, you know, I knew what route I wanted to take, but I also was kind of unsure. So after graduation, I was still dealing with all of that. You know, I ended up applying to three graduate programs, hadn't heard from them yet. I had been applying to, oh my God, probably hundreds of jobs during my senior year. Hadn't heard from anyone. And I was so, you know, just overwhelmed because kind of the high of graduating with my degree from a school I always wanted to go to was being overshadowed by, okay, but what are you going to do next? Because college is done and you need a plan and everything, you know, my plan A, B, and C, nothing was falling through.
See, I love this because I think this is the realism that a lot of people deal with. Everybody listening, everybody who's in school and everybody who's pursuing a dream of a sports career has to realize it's not always a straight line. It's not always going to be this simple process of graduate, get job, live my dream. It sounds like it sounds like you had a really great resume too. You did a lot of internships while in college. You did volunteer work. You had a great degree from a great school. So look back at it now objectively. What do you think was going wrong? Do you think there was some reason you were being overlooked or anything you would have done differently?
I think my problem and probably a lot of graduates' issue is we get kind of caught up in this fantasy of what we think, you know, entering the real world is going to be like, and then the reality of it.
Yeah.
And specifically with sports, you know, so that was the whole intent of my article. Like, you know, I've seen a few articles, and don't get me wrong, there's perks to being in this industry. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't say there was, but there's also, I feel like, a buttercup and roses view that a lot of people have of it, and it's not so realistic. So I wanted this article to show my experiences, you know, in a raw, uncut, realistic type of way. And I hope that's the message that I got out.
You did. I think it's great. So let's work through some of the finer points you make in your article. The first one you made, which I think was really important, is you don't have to major in sports management to work in sports. So if you had to go back and do it again, would you have gone a different direction with your major? And if so, why do you think so?
Definitely for me, I absolutely would have majored in business. And really, it's from a standpoint, kind of being in the position that I am now, I know with what I want to be in terms of being a marketing rep, I think having that business foundation and background would be more beneficial than my sports management degree. And that's just from the standpoint of I knew what route I wanted to take. And really with sports management, it's really just kind of a broad teaching of, you know, what different areas are offered throughout the industry.
Yeah.
So I was learning, you know, I did learn sports marketing. I learned sports finance and economics. I learned events and operations. I learned facilities, which is all great. But me knowing that I wanted to go the marketing route, and I definitely think it's beneficial to have just that business understanding period, I definitely would have taken a different, you know, a different direction in terms of what I majored. I will say I still probably would have minored in sport management or at least got my master's in sport management. But definitely, I think my bachelor's would have for sure been in business.
It's a really valuable point. And I've talked to a lot of sports management professors, too. And a lot of them say if somebody wants to pursue a sports management degree, they should make sure that the program is within the school of business because you're going to get that business experience. But I think you're also making a really good point is that for a lot of people, maybe the right answer is just to major in business and go that route. The next point you make, I think, is a really big one, too. And I try to drill this into people's head all the time. Professional teams aren't the only place to work in sports.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's so true. So it's funny, like a couple years ago, I actually got into an argument with Mark Cuban because he wrote this article about how people that major in sports management are not smart because they don't realize there's only so many pro teams to work for and that there's more people graduating with a sports management degree than there are jobs with professional teams. And I argued back with him and said, well, there's a lot of jobs in sports that are not related to a professional team. What was your kind of take? What made you kind of reach that point where you realized, okay, there's maybe a different avenue for me? Like maybe it isn't pursuing a job with a pro team. Maybe there's a different way I can go about this.
Yeah, no. And you know what's interesting? that article, I think, didn't that come out like around 2014, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I think it was.
Somewhere
yep.
in there.
Yep.
We actually, one of my professors pulled that article up in class, and I vividly remember us going through it and talking about it in class. So that's so interesting that you mentioned that. But, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of people, they want to work in sports from the fact that they feel like because they love sports, they have a passion for sports, that means, you know, they should then pursue a career in this industry. And to me, you need more than just a passion and a love for sports, because you don't have to work in sports because you love sports. You can go to a game on your own time. And I will say for me, I think starting out, that was kind of my mindset. You know, it's, oh, I love sports, so I want to work in sports.
Yeah.
And more specifically, it was, I want to work in football. I want to work for an NFL team. And then kind of, you know, after my first, one of my internships, I interned with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I soon realized, nope, this is actually not what I want to do.
Oh, really? That's cool.
It's so crazy. But for me, kind of in that moment, I think that's when I really started to realize, like, okay, do I want to work in sports because I love sports, or do I want to work in sports because I like, you know, so to speak, producing sports.
Right.
And I really had to come to a realization about that. And, you know, I don't think it's a problem if that's why someone, I guess, starts off wanting to be in this industry. But people need to understand there's a difference between loving sports and then actually working, you know, for sports, putting on an event, you know, coming up with a marketing campaign, or being the person who's over graphic and designs for a social media site. Because what you realize is you're not watching the game.
Right.
You are doing your job while everything's going on. And I think that's one of the biggest misconceptions in this industry. So once I realized, you know, okay, hey, this isn't for me, I started to look outside of that, like, okay, well, what else is there in the sports industry that I could do? And is this really something that I want to pursue?
See, I think that's great. Okay, so I want to unpack the internship conversation a little bit there too. So I always think it's valuable for people to do a lot of different types of internships, because sometimes they'll figure out what they like, or sometimes they'll figure out what they don't like. It sounds like you went to Jacksonville and you worked with the team and realized it wasn't for you. What was it about that experience that made you say, all right, maybe this isn't the direction I want to go?
For me, so I was a game day operations intern.
Okay.
And it was the fact that, mind you, I'm still in school at Florida State. So for Tallahassee and Jacksonville, they're about 2.5 hours from each other.
Right.
And at the same time, I was also interning with FSU's athletic department, doing sports information. Like I said, during this time, I was trying to figure out what exactly I wanted to do in sports. So I was going from, you know, working a 8 o'clock game, having to be all day at a stadium at Florida State to work a night game, not finishing until probably like 1:30 in the morning, having to be there at 1 p.m. Like,
yeah.
And oh my, I was so exhausted. But then I also had to wake up in the morning, 5 o'clock, be on the road by 5:30, be in Jacksonville by 8 to then work that game, you know, and
right.
I'm standing all day. It's hot outside. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like I said, I think I came in with the perception that, oh, I'm going to be, you know, chilling with the coach and the football players, right, and cheerleaders and watching the game. And it's like, no, that was not what it was. And for me, game day operations was just, it was very draining to me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the route that I wanted to take.
That makes sense. And like I said, you got to figure out what you like and what you don't like. You talk a lot in the article about the importance of finding a mentor. How did having a mentor make a difference for you?
You know, it's crazy. Like, I think when I first came to the realization that I needed a mentor, and then what I know about mentors now, my idea about it is completely different. So first starting out, I wasn't even introduced to the term mentor through sports. I was actually introduced to it from being involved in different organizations on Florida State's campus. And some great programs that Florida State offer is for certain higher up classmates to be a mentor to freshmen and sophomores. And I think that's so great because they help you, you know, maneuver throughout your college career. So I just kind of took what I already had outside of sports. Maybe I need to find me, you know, somebody who can also help guide me and provide me with the knowledge that, you know, I don't know right now about sports. And luckily for me, in another internship that I had, my supervisor agreed to be that person for me.
Okay.
And I think I kind of went into it then under the view that, oh, I need somebody who's older than me to just guide me throughout the industry. But really, it comes down to, you know, when you have an idea of what you see your future self in this industry, who better to tell you, you know, how to get to that point than somebody who's already there?
Yep.
So I think the purpose that a mentor kind of serves as is to be able to provide you with guidance throughout your career, but then they also serve as such a big advocate for you to help you with any issues that you have, at least mine do. And I have multiple mentors. So, you know, they all serve a special purpose in my life. And I honestly don't think I would have come to recognize the things that I now understand in this industry without each of them.
So what about, I think that's is so vitally important. And I found the same thing, like getting a mentor and somebody I could bounce ideas off of and somebody I could just question when I was completely unsure was so valuable to me. And I found people, you know, are much more grounded and have a better idea of where they want to head if they have somebody they can talk to about it. But then let's pivot into the actual job search process. You make the point in your article that this is something professors don't teach you how to do, which is really a good point. You know, you aren't taught how to find a job.
Right.
Once you went through it, what were some of your big learning points?
For me, I think I would say first and foremost, I've learned not to get attached to job descriptions.
Okay.
I'm gonna repeat that.
Yeah.
Do not get attached to a job description. I think that that's very important to understand because, like I said, what you'll find a lot of students do is, you know, they'll see a job that they think is their quote unquote dream job. You know, they'll start fantasizing about what it's like to be in that position. Then before you know it, you know, you're looking up apartments up in New York with this job that you think you're going to get. And then it's like, it doesn't come through. So I think to kind of avoid that added on kind of disappointment, when you're going through this process, just understanding that it's a job search.
Yeah.
You know, I may or I may not get this job. It's always a 50-50 chance. So just be open-minded about that and don't get so caught up in what the job description, you know, says. And then kind of following that, don't stop searching for a job when you think you found that job that is the one for you. Nothing is set in stone until you have an offer letter with your signature at the bottom. You know what I mean? Like, So keep going throughout your process. Don't stop when you think you found that job is for you. And I think I would also stress, you know, just being able to celebrate the small victories. It is, for me at least, it was such a strenuous process because, like I said, I was, you know, going through the job search while I was in my senior year. So I still had class. I still had my internships.
Right.
I still had work. I still had my other organization. So I think it was just a lot of added stress with that. Toppled with, I'm getting ready to graduate college and go into the real world and I don't know what's next. So I realized being able to actually say, okay, well, I did this one job. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Let me take a break and just, you know, celebrate that a little bit.
Yeah.
Or then if I land an interview, oh my gosh, yeah, because that's a big step if you do land an interview, you know, so then I'll celebrate that a little bit, you know, so just being able to, I guess you're in the best way that you can have a better optimistic view on, you know, on your process. I think I would also say being able to understand that while you're going through your process, a company needs you just as much as you need them, I would say, you know,
yes.
So with that, being able to ask questions throughout your interview. So with me, you know, dealing in sponsorships, which is some stuff I've done in the past, I know one question I always be asked is, you know, so tell me about a time when you had to deal with a difficult client and how did you go about handling that situation?
Yep.
You know, so I'll go through, I'll answer my questions, but then I'll also say, you know, at the end of my response, you know, with that being said, are you able to also tell me about a time you had an employee dealing with a difficult client and how you responded from a supervisor standpoint in that situation? And like I said, for me, going through what I've learned, I should say, because I didn't start out like this, going through the job search process, I've realized just like I need a job, they need a candidate. So I want to make sure this is just as good as a fit for me as it is for them. you know, and asking questions like that, it lets me know what type of atmosphere and boss and company culture that I'm dealing with. You know, something big for me is being able to have a manager that I know will have my back and not necessarily throw me under the bus just to save face. You know, so I think it catches the interviewer off guard, but then it also allows the conversation to be more natural and we're able to have a more authentic dialogue between each other.
I love that idea. I mean, you're turning it in from a monologue where there's just the other person talking the whole time to being more of a dialogue, to being more of a conversation and saying like, okay, I got one for you now, which I think is really smart. And I've emphasized a lot during the podcast about how you have to have questions. When you're on an interview, you have to have questions you're going to ask back. And usually it comes at the end when somebody says, okay, well, what questions do you have for me? But I think your idea of kind of building that into the interview process is really smart and makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So were people somewhat taken aback by it, or were they receptive when you had questions during the middle of the interview too?
You know, so far, everyone, they always respond in the same way, say, that's a really good question. I've never been asked that.
Good for you.
And then they'll go in and they'll talk about their answer. And then, like I said, we just, from then on, I'm more relaxed because now, you know, I feel confident that I was able to ask a question, and then the conversation, it just flows so smoothly, and it doesn't feel like, you know, I'm being kind of drilled with questions over and over and over again. No, we're just having a simple conversation about my qualifications and how I feel like, you know, their company could be a good fit for me and vice versa.
It's funny. I'm thinking through my own experience as you say this. And a lot of times when I'm doing an interview for the podcast and it's a guest that I'm a little bit nervous to interview because I'm just like anybody else. I'm afraid to mess up. I'm afraid to do a bad job. And when I'm interviewing them, if I ask a question and they initially say like, oh, that's a good question, immediately it relaxes me, right? It's like it immediately helps out feel like we're on the right path together and we're going through this together. And it sounds like that's what you're saying a little bit too, is that once you ask a question back to them and they acknowledge that, oh yeah, nobody's ever done that before, nobody's ever asked me that, it kind of helps settle your nerves, I would think, a little bit too.
Yeah, definitely.
So I will tell you, my favorite line of your article is when you said about your job search process is, let me tell you, grab a bottle of wine because the stress is real. That cracked me up. I loved it. I was laughing out loud. I seriously was.
Man, that is exactly what I do.
Yeah. So I think you really hit the truth too when you said you won't start with your dream job. Kind of like the Philadelphia 76ers are always talking about, this is a process, you know, like you're not going to start at the top of your dreams. Is that kind of an important part that you figured out in this process as well?
For sure. Because like I told you, no one couldn't have told me I wasn't going to graduate with a full-time job working in the NFL.
Right.
So I think, you know, just as you continue to mature in this industry, you realize that, you know, one, you're not going to be the GM in 2 years. You're not going to, you know, be the president of a company unless you start your own, clearly,
right.
You know, in like 3 years or anything like that. But also understand that's okay. Understand it's a process, you know, you work towards that goal. If your goal is to work in the front office of a professional team, work towards your goal diligently. Don't get, you know, stressed out just because, oh, tomorrow I'm not a GM. It's fine. Nobody's a GM overnight. So I think once I understood the importance of staying in my lane.
Yeah.
My thought process has just been so clear.
So after all this stress and after all this troublesome things that happened after graduating from Florida State, what has happened to you? So where did you eventually find that niche that you fit into, and what are you doing now? And would you say it's all been worth it?
You know, for me, I think I'm still kind of, you know, just now walking into my purpose. I think what I went through, what I've learned, kind of what I've experienced so far, it had to happen so that I could be prepared for whatever is getting ready to come my way. You know, of course, there's always the, if I would have known then what I know now, thought that crosses my mind.
Yeah.
But in the same token, I think what happened is exactly what was supposed to happen. And to be completely honest, it's only better prepared me for my journey. And to say my journey has been worth it would be an understatement.
That's great.
You know, I think I'm more open now. So much more knowledgeable. I'm versatile, and I'm mentally strong because of my experiences. And I'm still on a quest for my, you know, my quote unquote dream job.
Right.
But I do know that, you know, it may not happen tomorrow. It may not happen the next week or the week after that, but I'm confident and I understand that, if I continue to use my past experiences as a guide for my future, I will get there.
I cannot thank you enough for coming on and explaining to us a little bit more about your journey. I really appreciate your insight, and I'm going to make sure I link to your article on LinkedIn so everybody can see it and read it, because I think it's a really great take on what it's like graduating and then getting your way into the sports industry.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And again, thank you so much for having me on. It's been an honor.
That's straight talk, people. That's honest. Dasmin is on her path, but it isn't smooth. It's a struggle, and that's just real. And a lot of you are going to face that. A lot of you are going to graduate college and you're going to find work right away. I did. I was lucky that way, right? Sometimes you get that break a little easier or earlier than others, and you need to appreciate that and not take it for granted. But there's a lot of you that will struggle, and the challenge is going to be for you to continue on. You're going to have doubts. You're going to think, maybe I should just fall back into my dad's company and I'll go work there, or I'll go take some job that I'm really not interested in, but I just need to. That's going to be your personal choice. But what I'd love to see you do is to battle through that struggle, because just like Jasmin said many times, she wouldn't have changed a lot of things, and she is happy to be where she's at and where she's going. Here's a challenge to all of you. It's our 100th episode, okay? I'm not a big fanfare guy. I'm not a big, like, hey, look at me. We did 100 episodes. But it's pretty cool. And one of the things I've picked up on this, doing this show and building this community around our Facebook group, is that we have this great interconnectivity of people interested in sports careers, exchanging information, building a network, and supporting one another. And I love that. I love that. That's been the biggest takeaway of all of this show, is how many of you are willing to help others. So here's my challenge to all of you. I want you to read Dasmin's article, and then I want you to connect with her on LinkedIn. And here's your moment to pay it forward. I want you to say something positive to her. I want you to share an idea or a quote you find inspiration from, or a career concept or a connection. The more we start building bridges for each other, you'll find it's a better world out there for all of us. This community of people listening to this show and connecting on our Facebook group impresses me daily. This interconnectivity is the trampoline that will propel all of you to new heights. Open up a dialogue, share thoughts and inspiration, and make a difference for the people around you. I can tell you from experience, because that's what I'm doing on this show, it feels good, and it all comes back around. Thanks for taking this journey with me. This is our 100th episode, and I'm really proud to know and interact with all of you. I'll talk to you all soon.